One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. Yep, that's right, it's me. It's your chubby host, Cam Hale. And as always, sitting next to me, the peanut M&M king himself, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in beautiful Skeleton Studios with my bag of peanut M&Ms.
He didn't bring any with me, folks, in case you was wondering. He didn't share. It's Halloween, and he only brought one bag.
This is for me and for me only. I'm not really good at sharing. Treats. I have this constant argument with my mother when I was growing up, and now my wife does it to me too. So we'll go out to eat, and we could be anywhere. We could be at a restaurant. We could be at a fair. It doesn't seem to matter. And I'll be like, do you want to get something to eat? And they'll be like, this is speaking to my wife and my mother. No, I'll just have some of yours. I'm like, well, no, I want all of mine. If you're hungry, I'll buy you whatever you want.
That's true.
My mother would do that and just reach over and drink some of my drink or take some food off my plate. That drives me nuts. I'm like, if you're hungry or thirsty, I'll get you what you need. No, that's okay. I'll just have some of yours. But then I didn't want to order 3/4 of a hamburger. I wanted the whole hamburger.
And if you're wondering,
they don't understand,
folks,
that, right?
If you're wondering, Kyle's mother's still been missing. She's been missing for 12 years. Kyle won't say any other words. She went missing one night when they went to town, and it's all he said.
Yeah.
Actuality, Kyle and I was doing a little work over at his mom and dad's house this weekend. And of course, Pop's out there chilling with us.
Yep.
Hiding out, giving us a hard time.
Hiding in the woods, smoking cigars.
That's right. Because a lot of women were in the house cooking pierogies.
Yeah.
And I got some of those. I had them for breakfast this morning.
Now, you were supposed to save that for dinner.
Not happening.
Yeah, my mother and a bunch of ladies from her church.
And her family.
And their family. And they get together and make pierogies, and then they sell them in like a bake sale to raise money for the church, you know, whatever. Well, my mom's sister, my aunt, she doesn't like my dad smoking. And so like she's there, me and Cam are outside doing some work that they needed done.
So
my dad's hiding out. I brought my dad some cigars, and he's got to hide in the woods to smoke them because then my aunt will get all over him. So you could tell he's annoyed. He's like, do you just want him to go home? He's like, yeah.
And he's like a kid.
Yeah,
he pushes the limits of how close he can get to the house while he's still smoking. And we're like, get your ass back in those trees because we don't want to get in trouble because Kyle's the one that brought them to him.
Yeah, I get in trouble for buying them for him.
So
I'm like, look, the guy had a massive stroke like 20 years ago. I mean,
you can't kill him.
I mean, let him have a cigar. Let him have some fun in life, right? She's nagging on him and he's not even married to her and she nags him.
The funniest thing is you got two men in their 40s and one pushing 70, and all of us are hiding out because of one lady mad that he's a crippled fella smoking a cigar.
Right? Jesus.
That's what kind of life we live.
Just stay in the house and make pierogies, right? What's up? Just stay in the house and make pierogies.
I don't know what's the matter with us at all, but we are glad to be here. We are looking forward to Halloween. We got a lot of stuff going on. We thought we had cooler weather down here. Kyle and I was all excited. We've been doing stuff. Well, it's going to be 90 degrees here at home right now. So, but I did see it's going to cool off a little bit so we can get back out into the woods, do some more running around. We got some more stuff coming. But as of right now, I got something for y'all.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Everybody knows that we're going to be headed to the woods in January. Well, we're headed to the woods pretty much every weekend now anyway. But I mean like going to the mountains in January and then probably going back into the mountains after the first, well, that'll be after the first of the year, but again in 2020 back to Colorado to do some more stuff in the summer, then back in September. So we got a lot of stuff coming. Well, this Colorado man says that he and his girlfriend witnessed a bipedal creature that they believe could be a Bigfoot. This comes from Cryptozoology News. Now it says the man, whose name was not provided by the BFRO, says that they were hiking in Mayflower Basin when they came upon this two-legged figure. Now, this happened back July 25th, which is a great time to go to the mountains when it's hot at your home. Get up in that part of the country. It's awesome. So it was about 1:45 in the afternoon. The fella says that I was sitting on a rock just eating peanuts, hanging out, checking out the scenery, when I noticed a very large biped approach the snow wall. He said the creature reportedly failed to climb the wall and chose to back down and pick a different route to go up it, which is odd because you never hear that. Any stories you ever hear when people see them is like, oh yeah, they just climbed up it like it was magic.
Yeah, right.
You know, which is what we always say whenever you see any kind of like doll sheep or stone sheep or like even mule deer, anything, the stuff they can run and climb up. You're like, how in the world did they do that? So this fella says it then walked on its two legs very briskly to the right, subsequently out of my view. Now he claims that they found another hiker with his dog and convinced him to go up looking for the alleged animal, but that they only found snow handprints. And it said, he says this, with three big fingers and a thumb. And the footprints he had didn't seem to show any toes.
Well, you know, that's an interesting description because for whatever reason, like the swamp apes of Florida and stuff down in there or the bayou, you've seen those pictures from Louisiana and stuff.
We've got them along in East Texas, three-toed tracks.
And there's these three toes.
Yeah.
So,
but this is his hands. He's saying that they didn't show any toes on the feet, which my question is, and it goes back into what people talk about. It's always been discussed that Bigfoot has a flap. And I don't remember if I've discussed it. I'm pretty sure I have. There's been rumors and stories that a Texas game warden, and I don't know if he's retired, and I'm not even sure the game warden's name, but I had heard, speaking to others in the circle that does a little research into this, that they had a game warden come speak one time at a regular event, you know, not a Bigfoot thing, nothing along those lines, and that somebody asked him out, you know, out in the crowd was like, hey, what do you think about all these Bigfoot sightings and all this stuff going on? And the guy, you know, of course, did not, you know, no, there's nothing like that. And something along the lines of, like everybody, like all the stories go, after the thing was over, a dude cornered him and asked him, you know, hey, look, away from all this, they're eating barbecue or whatnot after it, having a drink. And the dude was like, yeah, we know that there's something out there and that we believe that they have a flap. And I'm guessing it's like a marsupial pouch, but it goes over their feet. So that this, yeah, almost like shoes. So that it covers.
This is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Yes, so continue.
It goes over their toes. So it doesn't have a distinct footprint. Like it's almost like if you were to walk barefoot in the sand, right?
Yeah.
We're going to see all of that. Whereas if you were to take a very thick wool sock maybe and pull it over like two of them over your feet and walk, well, then it looks like prints, but you really can't tell, right? There's no toes.
You can't see the individual digits.
Exactly. Yeah. And that there's something along those lines that when it's pressing into the grass as it walks, if you're walking through blue stem or native grasses and you don't see individual like toes and dig marks where you can track something, it just looks like pushed down areas. You're not as likely to notice it. And that's what it believes. So when he's talking about seeing these feet with no discernible toes, first of all, it's not like they froze off. Like you could say, oh, it's frostbite. It doesn't have toes. It'd be awful hard for anything to walk around on a foot with no toes.
And it's going to be hard to get frostbite in Southeast Texas.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you start looking at this. So that's when I first thought, I thought about the toe flap that I had heard stories about.
That's very interesting. I've never heard of that. Pretty cool. Yeah. We got a pretty cool listener story sent to us the other day. Check this out. I don't know. The person doesn't know if it's, you know, something paranormal or if it's just a bizarre set of circumstances, but they say, "Hello, Kyle and Cam. I've got a story I would like to share with you. I'm not even sure that this is even paranormal. Perhaps it's just weird. Either way, I feel like sharing it with you guys. Until a few years ago, I still had a flip phone. Well, one day, I got a random call asking for a girl named Diana. I kindly told them that they had the wrong number, and so they hung up. I didn't think anything of it. For the next few months, I started to get these calls more and more often, and every time, they were asking for a girl named Diana. Now, at this point, this was happening once or twice a week, every week. And the strange thing is, they were coming from different numbers and different sounding people. Now, sometimes these calls came at 3 a.m. One day I got a call, like usual, and I said, "No, this is not Diana's phone. You must have the wrong phone number. And no, I don't know anybody named Diana." Now, after they hung up, I went to my contacts and I hit redial just to see what would happen. And an answering machine came on and said that this number did not exist. I went back through my call history trying to call some other people that had called me. And now each time I had the same result, a machine telling me that the number did not exist. Every time I would get these calls, I would redial the number. And every time I still got the machine. So then I Googled the numbers, but all I learned was that they were coming from North Dakota, Montana, basically everywhere in the Midwest. Well, at this point, I decided to change things up. The next time I got a call asking for Diana, I said, "Oh yeah, she's right here." And the person on the other end of the phone said, "No, she isn't," and would hang up. Now, things started getting weird when I started getting calls from unknown numbers calling me over and over. Whoever or whatever was on the other end would always hang up the second I said, "Yeah, she's here." Once I got a call where they didn't hang up after I said hello, and I could hear someone on the other end just listening and breathing heavily. Yeah, exactly.
It's like me running upstairs.
They didn't say anything, but it gave me a real uneasy feeling. After about 4 months, the phone calls stopped and it never continued again. So I still don't know if it was someone jacking with me, but if so, they were doing it from multiple locations, multiple phone numbers, and there was more than one person in on it because more than one person called me. Sometimes it was a male voice. Sometimes it was a female voice. I don't know. What do you guys think?
That's very, very weird.
So that's weird. Like the first one, you know, when the story's first, you're first reading it, you're thinking, well, you know, sometimes they recycle phone numbers. You know, like if someone doesn't use the number for whatever, then eventually they'll give it to somebody else. So at first, I'm like, well, maybe the person that used to have that number was a girl named Diana. But, I mean, if most people, like say you were to call me for whatever reason and the number had changed and now my number belonged to a guy named Joe. Well, after you spoke to the new person, they're like, "This isn't Kyle's phone." One time you might be like, "Well, maybe I misdialed." A week or two later, you called me again. The same person was like, "No, this is not Kyle's phone." You would be like, "Oh, okay, sorry, man," and move on.
And move on, yeah.
All these people kept doing it, calling at odd hours. He said it would happen at 3 a.m. It would happen
different
at 4
numbers, and all the numbers said that they weren't.
When you tried to call them back, they said that they weren't working numbers.
Somebody was trolling this dude hard, or something very, very strange was going down.
Sometimes they would just hear breathing.
That's crazy.
Or staticky, they say.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a bizarre story. I like how the person says it may not be paranormal. It may just be a weird set of circumstances.
Yeah.
And that it only lasted for a couple months and it hasn't ever happened again. That's odd.
That is very odd.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So sticking along the same ideas that what we just did with the big feats in the mountains, I come across this. Now this was witnessed back, let's see here, in the fall, let's say November of 2018. This comes from the BFRO. A fellow was talking about this, so they did this whole investigation on it. This comes from Grays Harbor County in Washington. It says near the town of Hum Tulips. Hmm. Nearest road is Donkey Creek Road. Now listen to this. This was an elk hunter up there. Now this is what I like. An elk hunter reports trees being pushed over and vocalizations in the Colonel Bob Wilderness.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you haven't ever heard an elk bugle or anything like that, just pull it up on YouTube, start checking it out. It's really awesome. But so this is what went down. The fellow reports that November elk hunting in the Colonel Bob Wilderness in the Olympic National Forest. It's his first day of modern elk season. Now, for those of you that's unaware, modern would mean rifle. Like not talking about archery, not talking about muzzleloader. Right. Modern would be
modern rifle. Yes.
Modern rifle. So says high above the Hum Tulips River area. As I was setting up my truck tent for the night on a remote spur road, I heard what I believed to be elk movement in the gully or the ravine below me. The area is a good elk hunting location, and I've had success there in the past. It was too dark at the point to pursue any bulls, so I decided to make a cup of coffee. I fired up my lantern and do a little reading before crawling into my truck tent for the night. It was only a few minutes after I sat down that I heard a tree in the high timber above me being moved. It sounded like it was being pushed or shoved until it crashed to the floor. Now, I am familiar with timber and having spent my entire life running chainsaws and around logging. The tree was large and there were no other large mammals. It just happened to rub up against it until it came down. And that's what, so it said, now, as he starts getting into this, he's like, he's rationalizing, and that's what he goes into even talking about. He said it could be a weakened tree, and the way a bear would lean against a tree and they start, you know, scratching their back, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if it was a weakened tree, he's like, yeah. It's like, I could understand that. There's no, he said the weather wasn't bad. There was no wind. He said, maybe it was just a bear. He said, maybe it was, and we've even talked about this with elk, where they start rubbing their horns, they're pushing all that stuff till it fell over. Like, you know, dead, that's what they call deadfall. Deadfall timber, where it's just standing dead timber.
Yeah, I mean, they're
very dangerous.
Sometimes they're rubbing the velvet off.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just practicing, sparring with the tree, getting ready to.
Well, in the rut, I mean, even in the rut, they'll rake their horns as a show of aggression.
Yeah, sharpen those things up.
Yeah, so they're rocking and rolling. So he was like, I'm going through all this in my mind. And he goes, but what happened next unnerved me like anything I've ever experienced. About 5 minutes after the tree incident, I heard extremely loud limbs breaking. Like fir or hemlock limbs literally being snapped from a tree. The echo of this resonating through the deep timber and deep into the ravine below me. It seemed to be around 100 to 120 yards above my north. Then I heard the same thing in the ravine below me. And another smaller tree snapping and crashed. Then I heard a very odd sound. I've tried to describe it to my family, and all I can compare it to is almost a primate-like sound, and it echoed through the timber. At this point, I packed up and drove the 7.5 miles back out to the gravel Forest Service road. I've never been as unnerved as I was. I had the overwhelming sense of being surrounded and could not rationalize what I had encountered. I have spent my entire life hunting and camping in the backcountry of Washington and Oregon. I am a big game hunter and hunt alone much of the time. I am familiar with big game in Washington. I have no explanation what I heard. I also noticed that they went back the following day. So Scott Taylor, one of the investigators, said that he had actually spoke to this fella. And he goes back in and says, we agreed to meet up. Now, so he went in with him.
Right.
And he said this. He said, we went up to the forestry road, Road 22 at Donkey Creek Road, and then north up another Forest Service road. He said that he was 22 miles in from Highway 101, and it's a very remote area. It was opening day of elk season of 2018, and he had hunted all day and planned on spending the night there in the forest in the tent on his truck. He said, after dark, you know, and he goes through this whole thing. He said that he could hear the cracking as it was pushed back and forth, like the rocking, as he reports, the rocking of the tree. And then when it hit the ground, he talks about how he got unnerved. He goes, then he had heard a coyote like yell, and then it sounded like jibber jabber that was like talking. Now he talks again. He's telling Scott about, you know, everything he does. Look, I've been in these woods and these mountains my whole life.
Right. Yeah.
Never had anything like this happen. So he decided against staying the night. Right. So he broke camp and headed back in. He said after he got home, he did an internet search and found the Sierra sound recordings. He said that was a close match to what he heard. You know, and you and I have made jokes about that, but he still said that that was a close match to what he heard. So he goes up. So he meets up. Scott meets with the guy on July 6th, I guess, of this year, of 2019. Says, my wife and I followed him to the location. Says, we parked at a wide spot where the road forks, and it was about a quarter mile to the site. Says, when we got to the location, I asked the witness to describe what occurred that day and to indicate where the tree was pushed over and where he heard the vocalization down the slope from him and that jibber-jabber talk. So he's posted up some pictures. So if you're curious to what it was, he has found, like, the area that he thinks the sound came from, where he was camped, goes through it. They have a map of the whole area, and he even surveyed the whole thing. He said, we retrieved camp chairs and snacks from the vehicle. He's like, they hung out. They waited till 10 o'clock that night just to see, even after all that time, just to see if there was anything to it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if they would, and this is from November, so all the way to January, but they go through it. So, and the good thing is Scott lives in Spanaway, I think that's how you pronounce it, Spanaway, Washington. So it's not like he's a long, long way, not like he had to fly up, so he just drove up to wherever he was at. But here's what's funny is, we've got several friends that are hunters. That's what, you know, backcountry hunters. You go to Colorado, especially from Texas. New Mexico and Colorado is where we try to go all the time, you know, to get away. And I've had a bunch of those guys talk about not hearing or seeing anything, but just always tell me, like, yeah, one night, you know, I just, something didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, something just felt wrong, or I felt like I was being watched, or and we always chalk it up to, maybe it's because, you know, you're out there by yourself, or just two or three of you. You're a long ways out into the forests. You don't want to, I think it's funny, you don't want to admit to yourself that you're scared as a grown man. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty funny. So maybe that's what it was. So, look, this is something that weighs in the back of my mind every time we talk about going off camping, not just around here. I don't know why it's different in the mountains than it is here. I mean,
because so many stories of Bigfoot come from the mountains.
Yeah. And so I don't know, but it's just something that I think about, and I know I'm going to be thinking about it now even more than I did before, because we've dug so deep into this.
I'm with you, man. When it's dark out, 5:30 in the morning, you're by yourself, you hear some weird stuff, you can't help but a little bit of that creep into your mind.
And I laugh inside a little
bit. I laugh at myself too. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, why are you doing this to yourself? It's funny. But
you know, it's a bird or a raccoon or
are you telling yourself that? Because deep down in double deep in your mind, you're like, I really don't know what that is.
Deep down inside, that's what everybody thought.
Everybody that went missing thought, oh, that's just a bird.
That's just a guy in a costume. That's it. That's all you. That's
then you're
it.
Gone. Yeah.
And you're in David Politis's book.
That's You got loved ones that miss you. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that, I'm going to get into some more listener stories that you wonderful people have sent us with things that have happened to you. And then I've also got some wild story. It's not even a wild story. It's somebody that's very, very close to me sat and told me this story just about a week ago. And I had no idea. This is just one of those ones, like, you know, you kind of come across these little gems and somebody's like, I got a story for you. I'm like, I've been meaning to tell you. And then they tell you that, and you're just like, holy crap. So when we get back, let's have some holy crap moments. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right, here we go. Look, we always ask y'all, send in your stories, send in your stories. Yeah. Y'all don't disappoint. Y'all send in some great stories. There's so many of them that come through. I don't know, unless y'all put in there, don't use my name, or yeah, you can use my name. I'm going to go ahead and let you know, I'll just use like initials if you don't say yes or no, either
right,
way.
Yeah.
I don't want to just take that you know, for granted and just jump in there and be like, yeah, I'm just going to throw their name out there. I'm not going to do that. It's not right.
I think it's kind of known that if you send a radio show a story where they read listener stories, that it's probably going to get read on the air.
Yeah.
So if you're not comfortable, then you definitely should put that in the
email. Put it in there. So I'll be using a lot of initials in here. And then those that the one that sent it will know who it is that sent it. So this one comes from MW. MW writes in this, "The story I want to tell you is one I thought of when I heard a story on your show about a 6-foot wolf looking through windows and standing on its back legs. The stories of wolf-dog hybrids are usually in the news a couple of times a year. There are also stories of runners or children that get mauled to death by a pack of neighbor dogs. And it got me to thinking about the characteristics and mannerisms of dogs. For the uninitiated, different dogs have totally different characteristics, like prey drive, laziness, goofiness, and agility. For example, a German Shepherd can get out of any backyard if it has the will to, no matter how tall the fence. But these stories take place over several years and involve something great that still causes anxiety when I tell it. And I have to tell a couple of stories so you understand my anxiety when I think about a couple of situations that I have been in. When I got my new dogs, which are a year apart from each other, it seemed like somebody else in the neighborhood had gotten pups at the same time. In my neighborhood, there is always a dog or two running wild, which I believe is due to the learning curve of having animals and all the 3-foot-tall fences. I usually take them back to the house where they belong, and then, you know, when they get out. So he's returning, MW's returning the dogs. I walked my dogs, and I noticed other dogs in the area, so it's easy to figure out where the loose dogs live. At night, it gets a little crazy. I always take a pocket full of nuggets or cookies, all right?
Nougat.
On night walks, in case I have to pay homage to the king. Loose dogs at night almost look like moving shadows, and it's easy to doubt yourself on what I saw. My dogs are not fighters. My little dog may be a watchdog, but my fat boxer won't protect me. And with some back problems, I'm not nimble anymore, or at least day to day. So one of my dogs is supposed to be a fawn-colored pure blood boxer, but I believe he's mixed with another mastiff, maybe with a bull mastiff. And the other is a golden-colored mutt that looks like an all-around short-haired Parson Russell Terrier. So I live on a corner lot in a small town within city limits, probably 20 minutes north of Notre Dame, Indiana, in Michigan. And I bet it gets cold up there, Philly.
Oh, for sure.
So one day I let my dogs out, and since I'd had a few drinks, I relieved myself by the garage.
And, who hasn't done that?
Right? Exactly. Huh? I've done it by your garage. And as I do, I hear a bigger animal breathing that didn't sound like my dog's. So I calmly finish and look to my right, and I see a large dog. I see this giant Rottweiler, its head, and I'm thinking, how did a Rottweiler sneak up on me?
Especially while you're sitting there with your genitals in your hand. Right? I mean, that's... Talk about awkward.
Got your panas out and everything. Then I realize that it wasn't pure of blood, and as it walks off, it looks a lot like it's mixed with German Shepherd. So I get to thinking, what's scarier, a Rottweiler with silent agility or a German Shepherd with a big, loud, somewhat clumsy or noisy body, which both are intimidating. Within a month, it must have been the end of August, I let my dogs ride out before dusk and I hear a buzzing noise that seems to be coming everywhere and nowhere. So over the next hour, I'm trying to figure out where this sound is coming from. Inside the house, I can't hear it. Outside the house, it seems like it's coming from both the garage and the house. This is when I got to wondering if it's a carpenter bee infestation. All summer, oh, here we go with the bee. I've been shooting them out of the air with spray and then filling those perfectly 3/8 diameter holes with insulation spray foam. So I thought I got it all taken care of. Then I hear all this crazy buzzing and I think, how am I supposed to sell a house with carpenter bees? While I try to figure out this massive amount of buzzing is coming from, my brother walks by. We talk a bit and he starts helping me find out where it's coming from, and we don't find anything. Now it's pretty dark and no moon in the sky, and I decide to let the dogs out again, and they quickly go back inside. The buzzing at this point is so loud, it's creeping me out, and my brother too. So we walk around a little bit more, and all of a sudden, these bugs are flying out of the ground, big bugs, and it's so dark that you can't really see them, and the lights on my garage and house are casting shadows of these big bugs. The shadows are making it hard to see. I instantly thought they were ground hornets or something like that and started kicking the bugs out of the air. Now this, I would, your firearms are useless against them,
right?
There must have been hundreds of them that flew out of the ground in minutes, and I'm freaking out. My brother's freaking out. There's a cloud of big flying bugs and shadows between me and the door to my house. Now, of course, being the ass that I am, I'm kicking these bugs at my brother's back, and he's hitting these things out of the air with a shovel. So then I stop because I realize that they aren't attacking anyone. They're just kind of hovering 3 foot above the ground. I take a better look and I realize that they must be cicadas or locusts. And after I get inside, I Google search and confirm that they are in fact cicadas. After a summer of seeing stray dogs at night, which look like moving shadows, and dealing with these carpenter bees, and then hundreds of cicadas that ruined my yard, I appreciate nature for what it was, even though I still have anxiety when I tell these stories that go together. I wanted to submit this story because I can tell that you both like nature and the day-to-day nonsense. It says, it just makes me wonder if it would be out of the realm of possibility that a wolf dog may have been knocked up by some neighbor's dogs that would give a mutt the combined characteristics of a monster wolf with curiosity and do crazy things. It says, now I love the show and keep up the great work. So the reason I chose this story to lead it all off was, is he points out, MW points out great, or she points out great points.
Mm-hmm.
Is there are lots of times that there is really strange things that go on in nature that, like we discussed just a second ago about being in the mountains where you hear these sounds, that we play tricks on ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's one of those that we have to keep like an analytical mind. As hard as it is, we have to stay focused. We have to stay vigilant on not wanting every sound to be a monster, every shadow to be a monster. Because I know what he's talking about. Even here where I live, we have a certain neighbor a few houses down who has two dogs. And these two dogs, I guess they sit around and smuggle files in and cakes or whatever, because these dogs get out all the time. And I mean, and there's no rhyme or reason. Like, it's not like, oh, they're always out the minute he leaves, or they're always out whenever it gets dark. No, these dogs are out whenever they get the chance. They're just hanging out. It's so bad now that I don't even, like, he doesn't even get in trouble for it anymore. People just instantly know the dog's names, tell them, and they go back home. And if anybody's down there, they just let them in. I mean, it's that kind of craziness. But at night, when you see one run by, because I live near a church, there's a lot of lighting, you know, that they have the light projected up on the cross on the side of the building.
Right, right.
If something runs by there and you don't see the animal run by, but you see that shadow throw huge on the wall, it's done it to me while I've been getting stuff like outside. Like, lots of times I would go out to my driveway, go get in my truck to get something out of it. It may be, you know, 10 or 11 at night. I didn't know that the dog was out or their dogs were out. All I catch is a big shadow on the side of a building, and you look, and then there's nothing there, right? So you're like, what was that? Like, what just so I can see what they're talking about with all this madness. But to answer the question, I had a dog, like, I don't know if I've told this story. I had a dog when I was a child, when I grew up out in West Texas, and I was real little, and little female dog, and she ended up, I thought the coyotes got her. Like, I thought that they had killed her. Lots of times the coyotes will come in to play with other dogs, lure them out, and end up killing the dog. But she ended up becoming, like, joining the pack. Now, my dad had always said that he thought a coyote had knocked her mom up. Like, that's how that I'd got this pup, was that she was part coyote. Either way, she made her way back out there, enough that we could be in the back of the property when I was, like, 8 years old, and you would see coyotes, and you would see that my dog with those coyotes. And she lived with them until we moved away from there when I was little. So I would think that, yes, it probably could happen. I would think that a wolf, if he come into town and a female was in heat, I would think that maybe a wolf could easily breed another dog. And then you would have, like, this full blood crossbreed to where you had wild wolf and a big goofy golden retriever or something blended in. Like, I could see that, yeah, that probably could be a thing. So CF writes in this story. It says, "Hey guys, love the pod and all the stories. I was just listening to the July 10th episode, the Bigfoot story with the screaming, and it really caught my attention as it sounds very familiar to an experience that I had in Wisconsin. I was camping with my kids in West Central Wisconsin, an area with vast swampy forests, hundreds of square miles with an incredibly sparse human population." That sounds like my kind of place.
Right.
"This lake I like to fish and camp at is an old spring-fed iron quarry with clear and clean water. There are no inlets, and the fish are the cleanest in the region." Okay, you keep talking like that, CF, we're coming up. That sounds awesome.
Right?
"We had a fire, cooked some food, and went to bed. I woke up to nature's call at about 4 a.m. The stars were still out, but the light was rising in the east. As I got up and stumbled outside in a foggy haze, I realized that there were wild screams coming from across the lake, possibly on the ridge above the lake. I thought at first it was a person, but it was a wild scream with screaming grunts that I cannot imitate through text. As I relieved myself at the tree there, it repeated over and over with short intervals of silence in between. I wondered what it was all about. I thought, well, maybe someone was screaming and having a little love-making session out there in the woods, right? Maybe someone was in trouble or distressed. Goes on to say that as I listened more and woke up a little more, all those notions faded. At first, I thought it was human, but as I listened more, it kept repeating the same screaming grunts. Wild and almost human, but not. There was a wild tone to it, that an animalistic tone, and it became clear that it was not human. As I finished my business and kept listening as it repeated for some time, the more I listened, the more I could tell its inhuman nature, and it repeated at semi-consistent intervals and then silent. I became keenly aware that it was not human and not in distress, that it was a call. I listened closely and intently, bringing out my phone to see if I could record it, but of course the battery died right as I opened it. The microphone probably wouldn't have picked it up from that distance anyway. I was mesmerized and gripped by this wild human nature of what was became clear an animal call. It was unlike anything I had ever heard, and I spent a lot of time in the outdoors. I listened ever more intently to the intervals of screams and grunts, straining to hear all that I possibly could. And between the intervals, as silence fell, I could hear, barely, far off in the distance, a call coming back. They were communicating. I knew then, at that moment, it was either a Sasquatch or Bigfoot or some creature that it had to have been of legend. I had long ago dismissed Bigfoot as more than unlikely, more likely an impossibility, being that we would have found solid evidence of its existence in some form. I questioned its population density and food supply, winter survival, and food sources for that reason, especially in Wisconsin. But at that moment, on that day, my mind was changed. My experience now tells me, without a doubt, I now know that they are out there. I continued to listen to these calls. They went on for more than 20 minutes. I considered waking my kids up to listen, but decided against it as they were pretty young and I didn't want them to be scared. I now wish I had done so they could have had this experience as well. They're tough kids, both girls, and would have been intrigued. Eventually, the intervals became more sparse, but did not go quiet completely. I crawled back into the sleeping bag, snuggled down, and fell back asleep, and the intervals grew further and further apart. And that's my story.
Wow.
So, this, I love this story. And it's funny because it ties into the story we did of the elk hunter hearing those same screams, those primate-like calls. Now, yeah, there could have been some other things calling. If you want to do something strange, folks, you can go online. There's videos out there. We've had it shared with us before. You can find them on Instagram. Of two bobcats calling to each other, and they're like in the middle of the road talking to one another.
Right.
It's a wild sound that they make. And if you were to hear that, you'd be like, what is this sound? But you could still tell it was some sort of animal sound. Maybe not completely feline, but you could easily tell it was an animal sound.
Wasn't made by a human.
Exactly. It wasn't made. And that's, it's probably better to say, instead of made by a human, probably better to say primate, some sort of hominid that could make it, because we can't do all the vocalizations that other animals can do. So you could almost always, not always, but almost always tell. That's the reason we can't, when you have to call turkey or you call elk or anything, you have diaphragms, you have calls that imitate those sounds, because our mouths and voices and all, we can't do it.
Right. I think like chimpanzees, they can't hold their breath underwater or something like that.
So there's probably because of their nose.
I don't know. It's something that we have.
So you look at all these things and you're like, okay, so even hearing those sounds, and you think around like, okay, that's not a coyote. That's not a bobcat. That's not a, you know, that's not anything.
Well, at
something.
First he thought it was a human.
Yeah. Thought it was a person. And then you hear this constant calling, and then in the distance heard another calling. So right there, I'm always like, man, there's something definitely going on. That would be fun to be able to hear something. I've never had, I mean, I'm hoping one day too, but I've never had anything that fun.
I'm with you. I would love to hear something like that, to hear what these people are saying. I feel the same about like UFOs. I'd like to see something.
Yeah. Hopefully that's what we're talking about. We're working on that's Bigfoot property where we've been going and looking and checking out. So hopefully we get to have something crazy happen.
Part of me wants to, but then I'm afraid like if I do, then right, it might ruin the outdoors for me. I'm like, I ain't going out there no more.
I'm afraid I'll become obsessed with trying to find it.
Yeah. That could be that'll
be worst. I've got it. This one here is another fun story, especially for Halloween. You think about it. This comes from G. Willie. G. Willie sends this in. G. Willie says, riding home from school in Cincinnati, Ohio one afternoon, a brown monkey, a little smaller than a chimp, swung out of a tree, ran across the street, and darted into another tree directly in front of me. I almost had an accident. He stayed in that tree for half an hour before he got tired of me staring at him, leaped to another tree, and swung into someone's fenced yard. When I got home, I told my dad about it, who smiled and patted me on the shoulder. I insisted I was telling the truth. "You were over near my office?" he asked. "And you're not seeing things," he responded. "A guy rescued that monkey from a lab several years ago." Now, Dad was a doctor and knew the guy from the lab. He had lived there for many years and was always known for escaping. Says it made a real surprise back in the day. Now, I had to tell that story because not just the fact of him being a kid, but it's like the dad knew, you know, what you saw was a real thing. But yet again, it goes back into how many of these animals that we see, because especially now, so many people have pets, like if, you know, that maybe shouldn't have, or they may have gotten out. Like we laugh about here in Texas, all And I've said it time and time before. If you want to have some real fun and y'all are listening to this, get on YouTube right now. Punch in Nolan Ryan and the Snow Monkeys.
What are you talking about?
There is a troop, a large group. I want to say it's probably over 200 species. Now there's 200 species, 200 of them now. But there was a giant group of escaped snow monkeys that lived in South Texas.
What?
Yeah. And Nolan Ryan was trying to help money or help raise money years ago, raise money for the sanctuary in South Texas to that these, it was like Japanese snow monkeys were brought up. Like the ones I think you see sitting in the hot tubs with the ice in their hair, you know, they're all just hanging out in the hot springs. I believe that's what they were. They escaped in South Texas and Nolan Ryan was a spokesman for them to try to help raise money for the sanctuary so they could get it rebuilt. So they could get the snow monkeys captured. And first of all, for those that don't know Nolan, he's very dry. I mean, he is a very, he's a very dry Texas guy. And he talks real country. And he talks about them snow monkeys. And it's so funny when he, because it's like, he's telling a story like I'm grabbing food off of him or maybe snatching his cap off or, no, it was Hershey Kisses. There's something with Hershey Kisses. I urge everybody, just Google search or just Yahoo search Nolan Ryan. Now you can hear, there's a radio station here in the Metroplex called The Ticket, and they're hilarious. And they've been around for over 25 years. And those guys, and it's the same group of guys that have been on there in the groups are all still doing it. Like these guys have all been together for years. And one of them will do an imitation of Nolan Ryan and the Snow Monkeys. So make sure that it's not him doing it, but you can get some real audio footage of him talking about the Snow Monkeys.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. It's I'll show when we get off air, I'll show it.
Okay.
To you. You'll be in hysterics, but it makes me think about that is all these escaped animals. Like it goes back into what CF was talking about here in that calling. What if that is a troop of escaped animals?
Exactly. I say misidentification is a huge thing. I used to have a former employer when I was younger. I worked part-time at their liquor store.
Oh, I thought she was going to say, is that what you're going to call the Parker County Sheriff's Office is your former employer?
And they have a big ranch, you know, 20 miles from where we're at. And she swears to God that she was looking up in a tree there on their ranch and she saw a monkey in the tree. And her husband was like, have you been drinking today? And she said, no. And he was just like, and he goofs on her all the time. It's been like 15 years, but she swears to God, she saw a monkey in the tree. She said, it wasn't a real big monkey. She said, have you ever seen like the monkey that's on the show Friends? And I was like, well, I'm not really familiar with that television show. And she's like, well, the monkey in Indiana Jones, have you seen that? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that. She's like, that's what it looked like. She said, I watched it for about 15 minutes.
Like a little spider monkey or whatever those are.
Yeah. And so what was that doing out here? And like I told her at the time, is like, it probably was somebody's pet.
Yeah.
And it got loose. People just turned stuff loose. So you're right, though. So like if you're in the right frame of mind and you're like out squatching and this is what you're doing, and all of a sudden you see that thing darting through the trees or another animal similar to that, you're going to be like, well, that must be a juvenile one. I saw it in the tree.
Yeah.
Well, it may not be. It might be somebody's pet orangutan who got loose. But you know, that's how these stories, that I think that's where some of them come from.
And it would, it would be a really wild coincidence that you're squatching and see an escape monkey.
Sure, it would be.
But I mean, I'm sure crazier things have happened.
Well, that's some of the stories of the skunk ape is that like, you know, there was a circus long ago like a bunch of chimpanzees or bonobos got loose and they've just continued to live there in the Everglades. Because if you've seen some of the like game camera footage, it kind of looks like a bonobo.
Well, and I think back to like people used to get those spider monkeys for pets a lot more back. Even like I don't know if I've ever told the story, but my dad's cousin that had one when they were in college. So this is back in the
60s. He had a monkey?
He had a spider monkey. He was a rodeo clown and he had a spider monkey for a part of his show.
Yeah.
Or you think about Tommy Lucian when Tommy was alive. I think his son does it now. But when he has Whiplash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, which that's from Parker County. For those that don't know, you can look up the man that used to go to all the rodeos that had the border collie and had a monkey, a spider monkey, riding the border collie with chaps and a hat and his little Western shirt on. And he would ride as that border collie gathered sheep. So it looked like the monkey was making the dog like his, I'm laughing now, like his horse. That originated about 6 miles from where I live. So, and I've known Tommy for a long time and his son and all that stuff. And they had the monkey, and his name was Whiplash. Now, there was a lot of Whiplashes because he had several of them as he was training them, but they traveled and did that. And you can go on YouTube and pull it up and all this stuff. But I knew he had them for years and years and years of these monkeys. And just so anybody asking, he's not tied on to the dog. That little monkey rides that dog. They're like best friends, which is very, very weird to see a border collie and a monkey become best friends. But I mean, it's like the monkey, Whiplash would groom that dog. We'd sit there and watch him, and that dog would lay there, and that monkey'd sit there and pick fleas or whatever it might be. Dude, that monkey treated that dog better than a husband would treat a wife. Like, it was unbelievable. And that dog was always licking and grooming and licking in that monkey's ears. It's so weird to see the interactions like that when they spend so much time together. But you'd put that saddle on that dog, and that little monkey would run out there the way they are, and he's already kind of bow-legged, so he's got them chaps on, and he runs out and jumps on that little dog saddle, and that dog will take off out, and he's bouncing, his little head's whipping, he's got his little hat on. It's hilarious, man. But I always think of that is, how many people like that may have had monkeys, like you're talking about? And the only reason we don't have a population of them is, you can imagine if they got loose, a large house cat could probably kill a spider monkey.
If not
a large house cat, maybe it could defend itself. But you start talking about a bobcat, a hawk, an owl, like, it's over, man. It's over. Spider monkey, after hanging out in a place he's unfamiliar with, he doesn't know what to be afraid of, what not to be afraid of, and then whammo, it's over. Snakes, I mean, anything's going to get him. So that's probably one of the main reasons that they don't, it's not like a whole bunch of spider monkeys got out, and then we have a giant, like snow monkeys, we have a whole group of spider monkeys. But I do think that there is something that links to that with some of these misidentifications of seeing these animals. Like I know who you're talking about. There's no way that monkey wasn't there. She saw that monkey.
Yeah, and apparently had watched it for quite a bit of time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this one here is one that I'm also a big fan of, and I can't even give the doggone name or anything because I forgot to put it down on here, so I'm super duper sorry. I'm going to have to go back and find it. And, found it. Liar. HC. We're going to say HC. Here we go. This is Return of the Cooler. Here you go. It says, hey, y'all, I had an odd experience the other day that I wanted to share. It reminded me of a story that Cam told in an episode a while back. The story about either him or his son, I can't remember which, where they had taken the socket out of their pocket, put it in the toolbox, got home, and then it was still in their pocket.
Yep.
That story was my son.
I remember that, yeah.
And that was a bit, a flathead bit for a screw gun. And it had broken off, and he had thrown it in the trash, put it back in his, and I say put it, he didn't put it in his pocket. When he got home, it was in his pocket. He said, something similar has happened to me like that twice in the last couple of years, the most recent being a few days ago. I have a daily routine of when I get home from work, I take everything out of my pockets, and I put them on my fairly small counter. Phone, wallet, sunglasses, pocket knife, etc. And I'd have the same thing, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting at my computer, and I got up and was looking for my electronic cigarette. It looks like a flash drive, but it's longer. I guess he's juuling. Says it's pretty small, and it's black, but extremely noticeable sitting atop my white countertop. I checked the counter in which I had last left it, but the only things that were there was on my countertop was the contents of my pockets. I moved all these items just to double check to make sure that my phone or wallet wasn't sitting on top of the electronic cigarette. It wasn't there. There wasn't anything there. So I go around the house looking for it. I checked the bedroom, the bathroom, even checked the bathroom at the other end of the house. After about 20 minutes of looking, I walk back by the counter, and there it was, setting up on its end right beside my phone, wallet, and sunglasses. I was a little freaked out because I had checked that counter several times. Now remember, my countertops are white. My electronic cigarette is black, so it would be near impossible to miss. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on, but I have no idea what to think. This brings me to my second account with this type of experience. This happened about 6 months prior to what I had just explained. It was a beautiful Saturday, and I was cleaning out my house, throwing away boxes and such. Things that were just taking up space, mostly. I had one of those styrofoam coolers sitting on the shelf above my washing machine. It was just taking up space, so I figured I'd get rid of it. I had a fire going in the backyard, so I took the cooler outside and tossed it in the fire, not thinking much about it after that. Well, about a month goes by, and yet again, it's another beautiful Saturday. I was walking through my laundry room to go out to the back door when I just happened to glance up at the shelf above my washing machine. When I noticed something odd sitting atop, an identical styrofoam cooler. Identical to the one I had thrown in the fire about a month before. Now keep in mind that I live alone and I rarely have visitors. The few visitors that I have, none of them had brought or left a styrofoam cooler at my home. It's been a couple of odd experiences, that's for sure. Is my house some sort of thin spot in the veil of space and time? I'm bumfuzzled. Well,
that's a cool story.
That is great, right? HC, I think this happens more and more to people than people realize. Like, I think this happens to almost every home at certain times. Maybe not routinely, but I think it at least happens once or twice to every home, and I think it's happened once or twice to every person because I personally believe in alternate dimensions.
Yeah, right? I agree.
Parallel timelines. Yes. And I think it's always been the joke. It's always the go-to, like, hometown comedian joke is losing socks in a dryer.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
But why does it feel like that? I mean, literally, I have a bag of socks, my personal bag of socks, where I have washed my socks, got them out, and I'm missing one.
I know.
And I know I put them in there because I'm a stickler about my socks. And I'm like, I'm real picky about my undergarments and what they're made of. I don't like certain material touching my skin. I just don't like it. Like, I don't like cotton because it's rough and hot and I'm not a fan. So I'm real picky about certain things. And I've had some strange things, and it's little stuff. So when it vanishes, you can just be like, well, it was stuck to another clothes. It was maybe in the pant leg. You just haven't found it yet.
Right. Yeah.
You know, something like that. You're like, no, because I've wore all, you go through all those clothes and the sock never shows up. Well, like, then where did it go? It's not folded in a towel somewhere. Like, where did it go? So I think this kind of stuff happens and people look, well, I must have just misplaced it. Or, oh, it's right there this whole time. I walked right by it. No, it wasn't right there this whole time. You didn't walk right by it. There, I think this happens more times than not and to everyone, and it's because we're busy in our lives that we don't realize it.
I think you're 100% right. I think probably almost everyone listening to this has probably had an experience like that.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have had it happen multiple. I have it happen all the time. At work, I've had it happen before.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for certain tools. It's always, and it's, what's funny is you think back, it's never anything big, and it's never anything like over the top valuable. Like, it's almost like this universe is just clowning you. It almost like it knows, like, yeah, like the electronic cigarette, like the little e-cigarette. I'm like, okay, you want it. I mean, it's not like it's going to cost you $2,000 or $3,000 to replace it. Like, if your car went missing and you called it in stolen, and for 3 days everybody was looking for it, and the next day it's sitting in the parking lot across from your house, and it had never, there's no extra mileage on it. There's nothing. You'd be like, wait. That would bring up too many red flags, have too many looking.
Right.
But if it only affects one person and that one person can't convince the other people in their lives, well, then what do you think is going to happen? It makes you look crazy. That's the whole deal. So I think it's the universe's way of messing with people.
I think you're right.
Now, we've got more stories. Like I said, I probably won't get to. We'll stick some on the Elite Show. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll stick a bunch of them on the Elite Show coming up. We'll release that this week. This one, though, yeah, we'll go ahead. We'll take a break. I've got so many more. It's some of those ones that if I get going, some of them kind of link together. I don't want to keep going because it will go on for another hour if I keep that going. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this puppy up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Brand new love. Luxury Apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Very cool stories. Like you said, we have a plethora of listener stories that have been sent to us.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, just every once in a while, we do a show like this where we read some, and we're going to be doing that more. So if you have any cool stories, please feel free to share them with us. ExpandedPerspectives@yahoo.com. But before we get out of here, you said you had a friend, a close friend of yours,
yeah,
that told you a very interesting story that you wanted to share with everybody. So tell us more.
Well, and you know her.
Uh-huh.
You know her. Yeah. I love this woman dearly. And so her and I were sitting around talking, and this was been, I guess, last week. We were all, how much of us were together. And anyway, we were talking about some stuff. And she was like, oh, she goes, I need to tell you about the figure that follows my mother. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, come again?
Yeah, because they listen to the show. They know all about it. You know, her and her husband know all about it. I mean, like, we're all... really, these are really good friends of ours and all that stuff. And she's like, I've been meaning to tell you about this for a long time, you know? And then, you know, so finally it's like, yeah, this will be the perfect time. I'll tell you about it. She's like, this has gone on my whole life. She's part Native American. And so we get into this whole deal of talking, and that's where she's from. She grew up on a reservation in Oklahoma and this whole deal. Right. So she goes, yeah, she said, let me explain this to you. So the story goes, as her grandparents moved into a house, up there in Oklahoma, old house years ago, this back before she was born, her mother was very young, and it was a kind of a strange home, right? Like it, you know, it had, of course, most homes either have a basement or a storm cellar up there in Oklahoma and all this. This had a big basement and all of this stuff. And she said her mother started noticing, like, she was having, well, this when she was little living in that house, her mother was little, that she had bad feelings, started seeing shadows in the house, started having these, you know, everybody started kind of feeling weird being in this house. So I'm trying to think how it was, but anyway, so it goes on. They, you know, the grandparents pass away. The mom ends up that was having the bad feelings or whatever, ends up keeping that house and staying there. And then that's where this friend of ours is. She's grown up in this house for quite some time. So her first husband comes up with her. Years ago, comes up there and goes to the house when they were first dating, and they're sitting in that house, and was like, after he'd been there, and they never told him about some of the weird stuff that they had seen in the house and had experienced, shadows and cold spots and the sounds of walking and seeing like shadow men in the house and all that. And he's sitting at the kitchen table and said, he finally turned to her and he was like, what is going on in this place? She goes, what do you mean? He goes, dude, I'm freezing to death sitting here. It's summertime in Oklahoma. He's like, I am cold as can be sitting in this kitchen. He's like, something feels off, like bad, wrong in this house. And she laughed and she's like, yeah, we weren't going to tell you, but yeah, there's been all kinds of stuff happening. So one of the stuff, when I say all kinds of stuff, to get into the details of it, she woke up, this friend of ours, she woke up and she was telling me she was probably, I want to say she was in high school at the time. And her mother is pointing, yelling from the bedroom, yelling from her bedroom. And her father had passed away. This woman's father had passed away. So it's just her and her mom, right? And she's got two sisters too. So the whole family has seen stuff. So she goes, I run in my mom's bedroom and she's sitting on the side of the bed and she's pointing and she's saying, I told you to stay away from here. I told you to leave me alone. You know, get away from my family. You've got looking at the edge, sitting on the foot of the bed, looking at a blank wall, pointing. And so my friend goes around there and gets in front of her mom. And she's like, Mom. And she said the whole time that her mom's still yelling and pointing and doing it. Then she starts looking directly at her. So it's like she walks right into her line of sight. She don't even see her daughter. And finally she snaps out of it. So come to find out, what the whole thing ended up being was they believe it is a skinwalker. But it's not the physical form of a skinwalker, but the shadowed form of a skinwalker that has attached itself to her mother. Now, there's been some bad things happen to the mom, but it's not like, we don't mean, you know, it's not like a poltergeist, not like tearing stuff up, you know, and tormenting the mother. Basically, it's just there, kind of like impending doom, just constantly in her presence, constantly there, and she sees it. She sees this scary shadow creature all the time. The mom does. Now, here's what's funny. It was always in the house. And if this is funny, it was always in the house. So this friend of mine was telling me, she goes, even when she was younger, she said, I've seen it a couple of times, this large shadowy thing. So they moved. And after they moved, got another place, they had it blessed. They had the Native Americans come and bless it, right? So they come and do their ceremonies in the house.
Burning sage and things like that. Yeah.
They've done it to the last two places that the mom has lived. They go and do that. Now she said this, she goes, the best thing about that is it's not in the house. It's not there anymore. She goes, we thought it was over. She goes, one day I come home and mom's sitting there and mom goes, you see it again? She goes, what are you talking about? And she goes, come here, look. And she points and she goes, it's out in the yard. She goes, it can't come inside the house, but now it just lingers out in the yard. Everywhere she goes, it doesn't follow her to work.
And did she see what her mother was pointing at in the yard?
No. She said, I didn't see it. She goes, she's pointed there. She goes, I didn't see it. But she said, I've seen these shadowy figures when they were inside. But so like when it's outside the house, mom can see it still.
Man.
And she always, and that's what the whole thing, and it's also like in the back of your mind, when somebody first starts telling you this, you instantly are like, well, is there a history of mental illness? Is there something wrong with it? But no, these stories haven't changed her whole life. They've never affected her mother negatively. Like, it's not like she's been a drug abuser and an alcoholic. And no, she has daughter. She's been a great mom. She's a great grandmother. I mean, this whole thing, everything's, it's just the fact that she knows that she has this thing over her all the time, lingering. And so as she's gotten older, of course, she's talked to more of the Native Americans and going through it. Apparently, and here's the other part. Like I said, it doesn't leave the place. If she goes on vacation, it's not there at the vacation home.
Just at her prop.
It's just like weird. It lingers there waiting for her. It's just like, it almost feels like death. It's just waiting for you until it's time for it to take you. It's almost like maybe everybody's got one of these. She just happened to be able to see hers.
Oh, you're giving me chills.
That it's just there waiting. But she was speaking to some of the shamans and they were like, look, what has happened is this thing has attached itself to you when you were little. Maybe because you were the one that was the most perceptive to it. Maybe it was because you were, you know, because she had younger siblings herself when they were living in this house that all the strange stuff went down in with the sounds and they sound like people scratching on the walls inside and outside, the rattling doors, rattling windows, like all kinds of stuff. But they were like, this isn't a poltergeist. This isn't like a spirit. This really is like some sort of skinwalker. But what they told her was it attached itself to you and it will stay until you have passed. And when you pass away, it will in turn then go and attach itself to somebody else.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah. So we don't know, but there's no answer. So I'm waiting to see, and I'm hopefully this winter, her mother's coming down. They're all going to get together for Christmas, I believe. And I'm going to sit and talk with her.
Not me. Jump on me.
That'll probably be my luck, is I'll be curious enough to find out what's going on. Next thing I know is it'll be on me for the rest. But y'all will be the first to know it. So anyway, it's one of those things. The idea of this thing lingering there at your residence, but not like we said, she goes off. It's not like it's on the side of the road. It's not like it's at any place. It's only when she comes home and it waits for her there. So she knows. It's almost like it knows this is where you're going to be living. I'll be waiting for you. Like I said, it's like death. It's what it is. It's just waiting.
Yeah, what's that creepy movie with Denzel Washington? Remember?
And is it Deja Vu?
Follows them, and like if you touch somebody, then it jumps on them.
Or is it Fallen? I think it's Fallen.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think it's Fallen. Yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of something like that.
Yeah, where it's like a poltergeist. It's like a demon that has to inhabit a body. But what's crazy is it's no longer in the house, but it's just lingering in the outside perimeter. Like outside the windows, out in the yard, the whole thing. So, yeah.
Man, that is scary. Well, what do you got planned for your week?
I'm going to work like crazy because it's going to start cooling off again, and I'm going to be so, so happy with those cooler weathers. And then
the
cooler weathers. And then I will probably be hunting as much as I can. And that's pretty much it. I don't really know that I have anything really cool. I think I have a costume party I'm supposed to go to next weekend.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to be opening up my wallet this week because my wife's expedition needs to get a brake job done to it. And the book fair is in town.
Oh, God.
So Luke will probably get another $100 worth of books.
Wait a minute. Are you going to do the brakes yourself or are you going to pay somebody?
No, I'm going to pay somebody else to do it. You crazy? I ain't got time for that.
You used to do them all the time.
I know. I also had a lot more free time. I have no free time. So that's what I'm doing. Well, I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Camp.
Peace, y'all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.